Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach discusses the great battle against Carleton College and what he's looking forward to against St. Olaf. He tells us what the keys are to being a mentally tough football player, and a parent thanks the coach for helping her son reach a higher level of maturity. So let's get right to TaylorMade.
So let's welcome back Coach Taylor this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team updates, you know, guys are doing well. You know, we got out fairly healthy versus Carleton. Just want to really thank the fans. We had a great atmosphere. Fans, families, alumni, you know, support. I mean, it was just really good to see everybody out there at a night game at the Piper Stadium. So we just want to thank everybody for the support.
You guys come off a big victory versus Carleton College this last Saturday. I know you were looking for a more complete performance out of your team. Did you see what you were looking for?
You know what? We did, man. Defensively, you know, Carleton posed a big problem for us as far as getting lined up. So it was good to see our guys not struggle with that as much and, you know, have their eyes in the right spot. And then offensively, you know, we knew coming out of going into Gustavus game, we wanted to take care of the football, which we did, but, you know, we weren't aggressive enough so that the challenge for our offensive guys this week was to take care of the football, which we did, but we needed to be a little bit more aggressive. So it was good to see our guys execute those two parts of the game plan, and we actually executed in a kicking game as well. On a kickoff, we were able to get a sky kick, so that was pretty cool to see our special teams coach work on it and to see it happen on a Saturday, so it was good.
Speaking of the kicking game, it looked like both teams were having a little bit of a challenge getting extra points through and things. Yeah. Was there something going on in the conditions of the field that contributed to that?
No, was nothing. We don't make excuses. I mean, it wasn't nothing with the field. It was just it was a combination of timing from the short snapper to the to our holder, and then Carleton did a good job of scheming us up and getting good pushing inside. So between us not taking care of our business with the snap, the hold operation, and Carleton doing a good job with the push, you know, they were able to get some blocks, and we missed a few. So
Nick Barber isn't a name we mention a lot on the show, but he had quite a game for you this last Saturday, especially in the passing game.
And Nick Barber is a freshman out of Florida who we're very high on. I haven't spoken about him much. You know, we like to let those freshmen kind of earn everything they get, and he's been doing a great job. He has a great attitude, doesn't want the accolades. He just wants to do good on the football field, be a great teammate, and more importantly, he's doing a great job in the classroom. So we're pleased with him. We just got to continue to keep developing him, and he just needs to keep performing when the lights come on Saturdays.
One of the things we wanted to start adding into the show was to give you an opportunity to talk about the offensive, defensive, and special teams player from the previous week. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yep. Special team wise, it was another freshman who we don't talk much about, but he's playing a lot at corner for us. Adrian Krakalici, he was our special teams player of the week. Averaged 22.8 yards on kickoff return, so he did a great job for us there. Defensively, Jordan Dino, who plays our weak safety, did a really good job with his eyes and tackling and getting us into the right calls. So we were pleased with him. And then offensively, you know, it could have went a bunch of different ways offensively. You know, without Brandon Knocktree running the football the way he did, you know, that game doesn't go the way it did. Again, Nick Barber played well. Josiah Harris played well. We felt as a staff that Justice Briggs kind of distributed the ball and got us into the right play. So he was our offensive player of the week. So
this week you take on the Olies. They have a first-year coach that you're pretty familiar with already. So what are some of the keys that you look at in playing against St. Olaf?
Man, St. Olaf is, this is, you know, in 5 years, best St. Olaf team that I've seen down there. Coach Killian is coming from a school in our conference who's very dominant. So, you know, scheme-wise, we see a lot of things showing up on film from where he came from. So that poses some problems. You know, so we're excited for the challenge. And again, you know, it's going to be a good ball game. You know, they're coached well, you know, so we have to take care of the football as always. We have to get off blocks. We have to tackle, as always. So, I mean, it just comes down to the key fundamental things in football. Come blocking, tackling, taking care of the football, and staying aggressive offensively and, you know, being able to get ourselves lined up defensively.
Following this week, you have Concordia and then St. Thomas in back-to-back weeks. Is it a challenge to keep the team focused and not looking ahead?
It's super easy to keep the team focused because, you know, Hamline University, you know, we haven't arrived yet. You know, we are a program that's in the making. This is year two for us. You know, that's specifically why we always talk about 1-week seasons. You know, the Carleton season was over. You know, we got to win in that one, and then we start, 0-0 this week, and that's the way we have to focus. You know, and I don't know if any team is good enough to look ahead. I can't speak for that. I know the way we run this program, it's 1 week season, so St. Olaf is who we're concentrating on, and whoever else is down the pipe, you know, we'll deal with them once Sunday comes. So,
well, let's head to fan questions this week. We first of all start with Stan, who would like to know if you see another Warriors-Cavs final in the NBA, or who do you think could break that cycle?
Stan, I think Warriors and the Cavs will be tough. I don't know. You got to watch out for Oklahoma City, though, man. They look like they've added some pieces down there to contend. San Antonio is going to be tough. And then don't count out my Sixers, man. The Sixers are we're gonna roll a little bit. I don't know if we're gonna push in the finals, but don't count out them Sixers.
Shock the world. That's what we're looking for. Hal asks, he says, I read an interview with Coach Killian at St. Olaf who said that if you wanted to make the game safer, that players should not wear helmets because it would stop most of them from leading with their heads. What do you think of that?
Coach Killian brings up a good point. You know, that's why, you know, rugby is a sport that's been around for forever, and they tackle. And again, a lot of the way teams are, I know the way we teach tackling is more of a rugby style, so you do take your head out of it. So I think, Hal, I think he brings up a really good point. And, you know, you'll go to some schools and they'll do some. When, you know, I've been to some bigger schools and you watch their offense and defensive linemen go through their individual peers, and they'll take their helmets off just so they have to keep their heads and their faces out of some of the drills. So he brings up a good point.
Tyler would like to know, what are some of the keys do you think that make somebody more mentally tough in football?
Wow. You know what? You know, mental toughness is something, you know, we're always trying to, get our players to understand. It's tough to say, you know, what exactly the keys are. You know, you have to have a short memory, I think, because good things and bad things are going to happen on the football field, and you got to move on. I think, you know, your memory is a big deal with being mentally tough. And then, you know, I think it's about how you talk to yourself. You know, what are you telling yourself? You know, how you communicate with your own self. You know, that can help with your own mental toughness. So, yeah.
Larry asks, he says, does it bother you as a former defender that football always makes rules to benefit the offense?
Larry, no, it doesn't bother. You know, you can't control it. Some things you can't control, right? You know, people, you know, they pay a lot of money. You see a lot of touchdowns. You know, that's the way I've always felt about it. So, you know, it's a game is, you know, I don't want to say slanted towards the offense, but, you know, people want to see touchdowns. They want to see a lot of points. So, you know, I get it.
Vic asks, he says, do you think long distance running benefits a football player, or is it better to stick with a lot of shorter sprints?
Yeah, I would say shorter sprints. You know, when you look at the game of football, you know, you snap the football, you know, it's 4 to 6 second plays. You know, so with that being said, I think, you know, that shorter sprinting is just a little bit better to do. Not to say that long distance running doesn't benefit you. You know, when we start training for a season, everything we do, like, so you start training in June, you know, your running is a little bit longer. But as you start getting into later June, July, getting closer to August, I mean, everything is short burst sprints because you're trying to get yourself conditioned for those 4 to 6 second plays. So I'd say shorter sprints.
Does long distance running help any in, like, fourth quarter, you know, stamina kind of thing at all?
I think it could, you know, I think it does, you know, but again, you know, I think it really comes down to just the conditioning part of the short burst and, you know how does the football play, you know, because how long does the football play last? You know, that's basically what, you know, that's basically how we train, so.
Makes sense. Kenny would like to know, who are people you admire and who inspire you?
You know, again, like I answered this question before, you know, my dad, he's a big, big inspiration for me, you know, so again, it's good to always have a good relationship with him and to kind of, you know, see how he, you know, did with his family and, you know, how his work ethic was. And then again, I think I answered this 2 weeks ago, you know, Mike Tomlin is a guy that, you know, I admire the way he has command on his teams. And then, you know, Tony Dungy is another guy that I felt, you know, always felt like kind of watching how he conducted himself, you know, as far as on the sidelines, and teams always seem prepared. So I would just have to go with those three guys again. So hopefully I didn't repeat myself from 2 weeks ago, Kenny.
Amanda would like to know what the secrets are to a long-lasting relationship.
Long-lasting relationship. You know what? I think, you know, honesty is a big deal. Communication is a huge deal. And the thing with relationships, I was actually talking about this with our players yesterday. You're taking two different people and you're trying to grow as one for one common goal. So, I mean, you know, communication, honesty, and then, you know, you guys got to be able to compromise too. So,
Michael would like to know, what were you What were you a kid? Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. When you were a kid, what did you see as your ultimate dream job?
Ultimate dream job. I wanted, I guess early on, I always, you know, we would fly down to Florida. I thought being a pilot would be really cool. As I got into school, I thought engineering would be really cool. But then math and I, we had a bad breakup about the 10th grade. You know, we just didn't get along that much anymore. And then when I got into college, you know, coaching was, you know, really something I thought would be a cool job. And, you know, fortunately, I'm able to still be hanging in there. So I'd say, you know, it was being a pilot, then maybe an engineer. And then ultimately, I feel like I am doing my dream job right now. So it's good. It's fun.
Michael would also like to know, he says, when did you decide coaching was the career for you and what led to that choice?
Wow. Again, I broke a collarbone in the 6th grade and I wasn't able to play. So getting a chance to go out and watch it from a different vantage point, not seeing our coaches coach versus getting coached, I thought that was pretty cool and it was intriguing. But again, I couldn't sit here and tell you at 6th grade that I wanted to be a coach. But I know my junior year in college, you know, I had a DB coach, and you know, just the way that, you know, he coached us, and I just thought it was really cool to see somebody make a living coaching a game of football. So that's when I really gave it serious thought, was my junior year in college. And you know, I was able to sit down and talk to him after I graduated. And like I said, I'm fortunate to be in the profession.
Back to our main question of the week. Zach asks, he says, Coach, that was really funny that you would drill Rob. If you did, how long would he need to be in the hospital?
Oh, hopefully everybody knows I was joking. I would not hit Rob if he was on the field. But, you know, I don't know. That's a tough one to answer because I was joking around and I would not hit Rob. So I want to clear that up. So
I think the coach would lay me out, to be honest with you. Next up is Lynn, who says, Coach Taylor, as a parent, I just want to thank you for the way that you coach our sons and for doing the show each week. Thank you for helping out our sons to become better young men.
Well, Miss Lynn, I appreciate it. I know I said it in an interview a couple weeks ago. Ultimately, I'll be judged on wins and losses. I get that. But, you know, as we talk with our players, you know, it's funny. We actually have a kid that we coached back at Bucknell. He's out here, and it was good seeing him. He was at our game, and you know, it's just good to see these guys as they get older and they come back and they say, you know, Coach, some of the things you talked about when we played for you, you know, we get it. You know, so, you know, ultimately this 2017 team, we won't know how successful it is until the next 5-7 years. But, you know, we're working hard to keep them on the right track, and we appreciate the kind words. And it's not just me. We have a good coaching staff here that, you know, everybody's tied in and trying to build it to one common goal, man. So,
and let's finish up this week with, why is it great to be a Piper?
It's great to be a Piper. I would say, you know, again, like, we live in 1 week season, so we have an opportunity to go down and play St. Olaf. We're excited about the St. Olaf week. You know, our guys are doing a good job in the classroom. They're excited about, you know, learning from the professors we have here. So I would just say, you know, the ability to go to class at Hamline University and have a chance to play a great St. Olaf team on Saturday is great to be a Piper this week.
It's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, thank you. Catch you next week.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you had your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamline University head football coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.